Ele é quando o Stalin, o Reis Stalin, o Reis Stalin, tudo essa máquina que já criou o famoso Israel, hoje damos a ver aqui, ao entregar, de voz, ao Cristo Maracota, só falar isso para eu entender. Entendeu? A vida de Luiz de Israel, Sacadade de Acá, Sacadade de Acá, Everybody can do that. Why that Kitzah Hadash Biacha could make a different combination. You could say Tzaha Hadash Biacha. Meaning, what's the significance in making, in dividing it into Tzaha Hadash Biacha? Now there's first three markets, then three markets, and then four markets. That's the purpose. Now, we have to remember what Rabbi Vadi's form says. That answers the kashi that is raised by the Rambam, the Rayyad, the Ebenezer. I think that there's a chat in the Rambam also, even though the Rambam is very obscure. The question is, how can we reconcile Chire Chofis with Yudhiyah? The Rebbeinu Shalom knows how is a person free. That's the question. So the question is not, how does the Rebbeinu Shalom know? That's no question. The Rebbeinu Shalom is omniscient. He knows everything. But the question is, since the Rebbeinu Shalom is omniscient, so if a certain person commits a crime, so he knows from times before that person committed crime. So if Hitler and Machshmei wiped out 6 million Jews, the Rebbeinu Shalom knew that. If the Rebbeinu Shalom knew that as a certainty, how was Hitler free? Okay, that's the question. So great father of Sadigoyim, you know, all the Chichrim, the Kishim, of Sadigoyim, the Rambam, the Ravid, and the Hemezer, the Rambam, everybody discusses. But the one who gives a very prominent answer is no other than Rabbi Vadi's form. And I think that what Rabbi Vadi's form says, is really the Kavanah of the Rambam. In other words, it's not just the person from involved in metaphysical question. It's a puzzle. It's a paradox. If the Rebbeinu Shalom knows how is a person free, the question has an ethical, aspect. How is it that the Rebbeinu Shalom punishes all these children if they are not free? So why does he punish? So he's not responsible. That's what is more excruciating than anything else. I mean, people who are not chichrim are not bothered by metaphysical questions. There are many things we don't understand, but people who are not even chichrim and who understand that there are many things that are beyond the inquisitive grasp of the limited human mind can't help but be tormented by ethical puzzles. When you see that the Rebbeinu Shalom punishes people when they are not really free, when it's not their fault, let's say according to many scientists, if a person is a criminal, it's in the genes. If it's in the genes, so why punish him? So you have the question again, Ben Tur, why do you punish them? Why do you mete out a capital punishment against the Ritzayach? But after all, it's in the genes. The answer is, there is freedom of them. Otherwise, we can't understand the justice in meting out punishment against people. What heta do we have? Does the state have to put people in prison? All right, they can't let people have us, other people, so let them be locked up, but not to be punished, not to be punished, not subjected to pain and humiliation, and especially kept for punishment. So obviously, the raison d'etre of punishment in general is the concept of freedom of will. Freedom of will is really implanted in the innate consciousness of man. That's what many philosophers say. Never mind the modern scientists. They are not philosophers. They are not bothered by ethical considerations. So they think that scientifically everything can be traced to the humans. They say everything is the humans. Then the whole thing seems unfair. It doesn't bother the scientists. The scientists are not bothered by moral questions. But we are bothered by moral questions. So the main difficulty, excruciating difficulty, is not the metaphysical puzzle. If God is omniscient, how is it possible? There are many things we don't understand. But if man is not really free, what right do we have to punish man? That's the initiating question. And that's what Tormenti told me then. Sadik Virala in Rosh Italy, so as the Ramban Shah Agnur says, even though the Nevi'im mentioned Rosh Italy, Chazal mentioned, but the main excruciating difficulty is not the fact that Rosh is there. That's the, in itself, it's not difficult. But the Benishon is Arachu Mechano, so Rosh is also there. But the paradox, the Rebbeinu Shalom is such a rachum v'chamon that in Rosh Tevlei is in a rapani at the same time Tzadik Yerale. This is the cruciating puzzle that has bothered the Nevi'im and the Chachamim, and for that there is no real answer, but we have to find a powerful answer. So the answer is, and the Rambam points it out, Ish Mina Prokit, it's true. But scientists say that certain traits are inherent in the genes. It's true. That's the pshat in the Gemara in Yehuda, that when a blood is meyune, so that boy talks about intellectual traits, but it doesn't matter. So then in Malach is symbolic of the forces of nature, teaches him collateral, and then before he comes, he emerges from the mother's womb. So the Malach is so crazy. So that's why people say this, the lips is due to the Malach's activity, because it's not to be understood literally. The Kavoni is that all the traits, intellectual traits especially, are inherent in the genes, whatever you call it, genes, call it whatever you want. It's inherent in Mitchilas Urzeh. And then, if a certain person grows up as a good Lador, so potentially he was a good Lador in his mother's womb, but the potential has to be actualized. So this is the Kavani of the Gemara. And it is not only true in regard to intellectual traits, but even in regard to moral traits, it is true to a certain extent. In other words, the genes determine certain tendencies in a certain person. The Rambam says in Shmuel Prokit, certain people are born with hot blood, whatever it means, hot blood. So what it means, the genes are so that they form a tendency in a certain person to be violent. That's the modern psychology concept. There's the moral in Shabbos, the end of Mesar Shabbos, she's 100% modern. The more, you know, modern psychologists talk about sublimation. You know, sometimes this is what Freud says and other psychologists say, a person becomes a surgeon. And you see, it's not nice to say it, but I saw it myself. Some doctors, they enjoy being a surgeon. I couldn't be a surgeon. I couldn't. Even if I had all the other talents that are indispensable for being a surgeon, I couldn't be a surgeon. I couldn't even be a mayor. I couldn't even be a sheikh. So you think, I'm that way. Well, I'm not 100%. I heard it from my father. He once said that he couldn't be a sheikh. He just couldn't be a sheikh. Why? Because, after all, in order to be a sheikh, you have to be physically capable of killing something. So of course there is no moral dilemma in killing an animal, especially of the Shchite, the Tzeach Odom, and the Shchite, as it was corroborated by old scientists, reduces the pain to minimum. But still, it involves the loss of life, the loss of life. So this is part and parcel of the Derech HaTeva. I mean, the whole mighty genius cycle is based upon one living thing eating up the other living thing. That's the mighty genius cycle. So we can't doubt the ethical essence of the Derech HaTeva, that the Rebbeinu Shlomo himself created the world that way, and through the nitrogen cycle, so one person eats up the other person. I mean, animals eat up vegetables, and higher animals eat up lower animals, and so on. That's the nitrogen cycle. So then, the Gemara says in Shabbos, if somebody is born be Maisel-Maidi, what does Maisel-Maidi mean? Literally, Maidi means the planet Mars. That's Maidi, Chas V'Sholem, that the Gemara means astrological things. Maidi is like dumb, red. You know, red is symbolic of violence. So if somebody is born, be Mazel Madi means, Mazel means something that is hidden. One Chaim Zene, La Bishchus Italian means say, El Mazor Italian means. Mazel in Gemara constantly mentions about Mazel. But he doesn't mean Mazel astrology, the power of the stars. Well, Nancy Reagan believes in that, but we don't believe in that, you see, in the power of stars. The Rambam says that astrology is repugnant to the Torah. It's repugnant to the whole mitzvah of Tomim Tiyim HaLishem Olikach. But Chazal constantly talk about Mazel. The answer is Mazel means something that is hidden. It cannot be explained. Bona Chayim Zene, La Bishchus Italian, say, El Mazor Italian. So the Gemara mentions two great giants, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. Both, when they were mispalel, so they were able to get rain. Equal tzaddikim. Still, one had a life of happiness and naches of children, and the other one had a life of misery of death of children, and of suffering. Can we understand that? But there is a reason. What's the reason? The reason is grounded in the seal of eternity. It's not for us, it's Mazel. So the Gemara says in Shabbos, if somebody is born with Mazel Maidim, as the Rambam says in Shmini Porky, somebody is born with hot blood. What do you mean hot blood? a certain tendency towards violence. So if he's a Rosh, he'll become a mystic. If he's a tzaddik, he'll become either a sheikhet or a neyal or a sheikhet. It's very modern. It's the concept of sublimation. So certain people will be surprised. It's not for me to say it, but I saw some surgeons, they perform most dangerous operation. And when they perform it well, I understand they have to be happy that they performed it successfully. But they enjoy it so much, much more than a student of Torah enjoys going over a Chaim or Chiddush Rabbi Meir. The way they enjoy it, it's not just the ethical joy in helping him life, the Haraya. When it's successful, they enjoy it so much. And it's when unsuccessful, they're not bothered. They don't have sleepless nights. You would imagine if a doctor performs an operation and during Chasni Sholem, in the midst of the operation, the patient dies. He'll be tormented from days and nights. No, it doesn't happen. Why? Because these doctors, not nice to say, these doctors and these surgeons, because of their genes, they have a tendency, violent tendencies, but they're nice people. They're not gangsters. They know it's a terrible thing to kill and to shed blood. So they sublimate their violent tendencies by doing something good, by being a judge and meeting out, you know, according to the strictest of justice canon, you know, and let's say meet out for a person who committed a relatively small crime. 5 years. More years than some of the murderers get through these 3 years. And these people who took a kickback, you know, relatively small crimes, so. Then they make all kinds of shetlach, the lawyers and the prosecuting attorneys, mail fraud and racketeering and everything, and then they get his sentence for 15 or 20 years. It happened these days. Why? Because they have violent tendencies. They are born the Mazamadi. But that does not mean that we cannot overcome it. We can overcome it. And sublimation is only one way of overcoming it. But if they are real tzaddikim meaning, then they can suppress the violent tendencies. And they won't even have recourse to sublimation. The fact that a certain person has recourse to sublimation shows that he's not a tzaddik, you know. He's a moderate tzaddik. But when he's a real tzaddik, will never become a shilchet in order to find satisfaction. But he might become a shilchet in order to help him. You know, in Soviet Russia and the communists, many of the garbage are sitting there in Shmute. And they learn Mille. So they are Chasni Sholem. It wasn't founded in violent tendencies. So, but when a person is a nice person, not a real tzaddik, then he's a lovely person, but not a real tzaddik. So, a superficial tzaddik, an apparent tzaddik, then he will sublimate. But a real tzaddik will just overcome all the violent tendencies through perseverance and firm determination. So the Sforni, that was Akdome, to do what the Sforni says. The Sforni says at the beginning of Boy. עבורים הרבי שמעון מיישה, בי על פארי, כאני עבדתי אצלי בי, ושאי בעבורות, ומנשי סי, סי סי, אילה ביקיר. סי סבורמי סייס, אף על פי שמעון מיישה, ידעתי כי קרם תאום, חושב שאף על פי, שהוא יכנו הכי מפרח, סמי שרבינו, נו, בפור, but Kara is not going to do tshuva. So why would the Rebbeinu Shlomo have to tell him? Is it something new? The answer is, Hoshav, which Rebbeinu, even though Hashem told him that Kara will marry today, but Hoshav, Shaf, and Bishop, אז גודל היא, מכל מפין, נשמע בייסי בית יוכלי, ליז בירוס רוס המקיס. In other words, when a person, a burglar, comes into a bank, and with a gun, he tells the clerk in the bank, now give me $1 million that you have in this drawer, otherwise I'm going to shoot you. So, if the clerk could do something by calling the police or by shooting the burglar, he would do it, but he's helpless. So with $1 million, he enjoys it. So can you say that the giving of $1 million by the clerk in the bank to the burglar is a voluntary act? It's a forced act. It was done under coercion. What else could he have done? Let himself be killed. So there is an instinct of self-preservation that doesn't allow a person to let himself be killed. If he can save himself at whatever expense, he's going to do it. So here too, Moshe Rabbeinu knew very well that Pharaoh is not going to release the Israelites because of truth, because of ethical considerations. But never mind ethical considerations. Didn't Pharaoh see that Mitzrayim is going to be destroyed? Dom, Tzvadeya, Kinim, Orev, Devera, Shechin, God. Now it's already Aved. So, without ethical considerations, even if Pharaoh is the biggest rosh in the world, wicked, as wicked could be, the biggest fiend, but he should release the Israelites because of the instinct of self-preservation. So that Rebbeinu Shlomo said to Moshe, Pharaoh is not going to budge, because I hardened his heart so much that he will not be motivated by selfish considerations. But he is free to be motivated by ethical considerations. So on the contrary, if not for the hardening of the heart of Pharaoh, then the ultimate of choice wouldn't be equal. Because of the hardening of the heart of Pharaoh, so parity could be established in between the ultimate of choice. שאף על פי שהוא יכנו לכיר מספר, יגיר אז גודלי מכל מקום, יש מה בין זה, בלות יוכלו את ליסבל, אסורה סמאקס, וזה חושב, כשרו, שמאקס, שמקיח המאקו, אמרה דשם הסבי, ואיבית, מיש רבינו, think that now it's going to you because Paris said Hashem Asabu. That was something revolutionary, unusual. For Paris to say Hashem Asabu, Daniel, something unusual. So Moshe said, oh, Paris is changing. He's moving towards moderation. So the Rebbeinu said, no, he's not moving towards moderation. But because of the hard look of the hard Pharaoh, so the ultimate of choice were equal and parity was established in between the ultimate of choice. Then, so I think this is what the Rambam means. The Rambam asks in Cheshuva, why was Paro punished? After all, the Rebbeinu Shlom hardened his heart. Why was Sichel punished? The Rebbeinu Shlom hardens his heart. The Rambam says sometimes a person is so wicked that his freedom of choice is taken away. That's his long answer. That's like conceding that freedom of will is not a chidliyavia. There are exceptions too. That's what everybody is masik on the Rambam. The answer is by the Rambam means that the Rebbeinu Shalom created man in such a way that when a person addicts himself to crime, so then he is disposed even to ignore selfish considerations. You see, there were the terrorists, some of the terrorists, even Arab women, are ready to sacrifice their own lives in order to kill Jews. How can you understand it? How can you understand it? So, the answer is because they are so wicked that it becomes established into a strong instinct of ignoring even selfish considerations. That's what the Rambam means. It's in line with Rabbi Nevadisha. Now let's go back to the question, what's the significance of Rabbi Nevadisha? So if you look in the Torah, so you'll see that after the first remarkes, something happened. After the next remarkes, something happened. And of course, after the last four remarkes, so you know, even Paro, released the Israelites. But let's see what happened after the first three months. First market was done. Nothing happened. The Khartoum and the servants of Pharaoh did not demand of Pharaoh that he release the Israelites. Then Sfardeya, they still didn't mix it. After killing, so the Khartoum said, it's Pharaoh king, and they pressured Pharaoh to release the Israelites because they saw that the Rebbeinu Shalom is punishing Egypt for persecuting the Israelites. Let's see what the Pasuk says. After king,
Shmuel Schess, positive place.
ואתי הקינום ועודם ובאים לכל הפעולות, הולכים לכל הארץ מצרים, ויעשו כן חתום מולותיהם, ולהיהם צי עסקים, ובגדים מולי, וחתום מולי בו, to show unusual things, unnatural things, but nothing without the kingdom. ויעשו חתום מולותיהם, ועסקים, ולא יוכל, you will help us in faith of the king. ותהיה הקינם ועודם ובאים ואים לחתום לפארי אסבר לקינם first time לחתום לפארי פייגנס recognized for the blue assurance אסבר לקינם is the revolutionary thing for the pagan חתום of Egypt who were steeped in paganism to talk about the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that the Ribbono Shel Olam is punishing Egypt, very unusual thing. Ayuma Hatun El Pari, Ezbel Kim, Bayazak Yif Pari, Vishama Alev Kashadir Hashem. So in other words, Vishama Alev, he didn't pay attention to Hatun. Obviously, the Hatun for the first time started to pressure Pari. But these Israelites, don't you see that this Almighty God is punishing us? What are you waiting for? Until this island is destroyed, they crushed him. But they didn't show any rebellion against Pharaoh. You know, Pharaoh was an autocratic king. It's not like today when it's the easiest thing to show rebellion against the ruler. But in those days, rebellion was something that couldn't even be conjured up in one's imagination. So, but they did pressure Pare to release the Israelites. But Pare did not listen. Why didn't they listen? Didn't Pare see that they are going to suffer? He was so wicked that he was ready to assume all the suffering for Egypt, but not to do something good. So that marked a certain degree in the Vayechazik HaVishem Aslikbar. But then, after the next 2 months, after Orin, Devar, and Shri, something else happened, but more revolutionary than after Kinim. After Kinim, he just demanded, they crushed him. They rabbit Pari, but they didn't show any impatience. But then, after Shri, they became hysterical to such an extent that they were ashamed even to see Moshe Nabi and be hidden behind. Let's see what happened after Shri. Ayyuma Adishem, our Moshe Rabbi, Kholochem Lichofnechem, Piach Kivshon, Uzroki Moshe Shomano Yifad, Shmei Stes, Posik Ches. והיה ועבק על כל הארץ מצרים והיה על האודם ועל הבימו משכין פרח עבדית בכל הארץ מצרים ויתחוס פיח הקיף שם וינבינת מפארי ויזרקי סימן שהשמיימו וישכין עבדית פרי עבודם ובימו ולוח לו החתום לנת ממשי מפני השכין, כי הוא השכין בחתום מבחור מצרני. ויחזיק על השם הסליפרי, ונשום עליו, כאשר דיבר עד השם המיש. All right, it happened after Kinim also, ונשום עליו. But after Kinim, they just pressured Pari. They did not become hysterical. Here, the Rambam says, they were ashamed, they felt humiliated, they couldn't even raise their heads, they didn't want to see Mordechai. They were ashamed the way Paroh treats the Israelites. In other words, they were so impelled towards releasing the Israelites, so that they ran away, they didn't want to see anybody. Things even start functioning. So it's not that they try to lobby Paroh. After King, they pressured Paroh. But after Shechem, they became hysterical and they became humiliated on themselves. And they couldn't even function properly. But still, and it was more than pressure. They probably pleaded with Paroh to help save the life. But Paroh was an autocratic king, very arrogant, very wicked, ruthless. So after Adash, something happened that marked, that indicated the riches of Paroh. After down in the left of Svadaya, so nothing indicated the mouth, the intensity of the maltreatment of Paroh. But after King, so something indicated the maltreatment of Paroh. After Shechem, so indicated the more of the maltreatment of God. So that's why the Jews classified them and divided them into Tzacha Dash Biachab, not into Tzacha Dash Ba Dashav Achab, because this has meaning. כמה לא קודש בעס המקיס, אני מעט במצרים לא כעס המקיס, והיום לא כחמיש מקיס. It's not to be understood literally. Literally, it doesn't even make sense. Just because in Mitzrayim they said it's Balakim and on the Yam they saw the Yod HaGelo, so the Yod HaGelo and the Yad has five fingers, so Mele, if Mitzrayim, there were 10 makis. So in Arayam there were 50 makis. It wouldn't make sense if Abis Agul is to be understood of talking in quantitative terms, but I think according to the Yalkish men, we should say in Pirkei Avos, this Abinsi Agnus memory is to be understood not in a quantitative sense, but in qualitative sense. It's not that quantitatively, Yam Yam, there are five times as many plagues as Mitzrayim. We don't know how many plates there were. And the Yamir and no. But not necessarily five times as many. But qualitatively, so the market on the Yam was five times as large, qualitatively, not quantitatively. Yalgish Meini, paragraph Kuf Begimah, in Veira. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, does it appear to the Rebbeza? I think so. Yes, appear to the Rebbeza. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Chomer Shez Boyz Shal Yad, Chomer Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kulam Lamed Gula, the five figurative fingers of the figurative right hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are for the purpose of measuring Gula. Very strong expression. Es Baktano, the little finger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course in the figurative sense. So, Bo Hera HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Malasi Nativ, Shenemar, Izeh Asher Taseh Isa. So when the Rebbeinu Shlom said to Noach, Aram Gur, Izeh Asher Taseh Isa, I mean, he showed him his figurative little finger. Ez Bashniya Liktamo, his finger, where he calls a mitzvah, because by Yimua Hatun, Ezba Lekim, Ezba is this finger. How is it called in English? The forefinger?
Ring finger.
I thought that the ring finger and forefinger is Anach. Am I mistaken? I thought it's Anach. Okay, anyway, tell me. So, as Bashniya Liktano, Bo Hiko Es HaMitzri, as Galikim, Kamulok Bozba, Es HaMakir, so, Ayam, Shlishis, this finger, she Shlishis Liktano, Kosa Bo Aluchas, that finger that the Bani Shalom, Bani Aluchas. Shemema, Ksugim Bezba Lekim, which is Ba, this finger. Reveals this finger, Shoshnir Rebellion, Bein is the thick finger. Shoshnir Rebellion, Bo Hera in Moshe, Malibu Lepidin Nafshon, the Machtis HaShekel. Shemema Zegitno, Bein, Chawayad. So Bo Osi Behashmid, a sorrow, ולהכריז אסעיבוב שנימה פרדיותו על צורךו יכולים ביחו יקורי סולוסי. That's the couple of this Pirate of Rebbeza, very strange, mysterious Pirate of Rebbeza. But when we look, when we shuttle the pages of history, especially American history, it's more obvious when we shuffle the pages of American history. Now, Franklin Delano Roosevelt is considered in American history as one of the greatest presidents and also as one of the greatest humanitarians, because what he did by helping among the working people and unemployment through the NIRA legislation. Who did so much for the working men and for the poor people and for the unemployed as Franklin Delano Roosevelt? He was a humanitarian, no doubt about it. So, but was he nice to Jews? Was he sensitive to the troubles of the Jewish people? Not at all. Not at all. You know, the beginning of the Second World War, overwhelming from Romania, from Hungary, who had just come over, came to Washington to speak to the president, he should do something about the plight of the Jews in Europe. Everybody knew that Hitler is destined and is determined to wipe out the Jews in Europe. They killed hundreds of rabbis. And then there is always a Michael Yisrael, you know, who activates good leaders in Tunisia. So then, President Delano Roosevelt, he was a great man, general, was looking through the window of the White House, and he saw all these rabbis, you know, standing near the White House, and they were pleading that the president should allow a small delegation, they didn't want all to come in, but a few rabbis, you know, to see, to give vent to their problems and their request. So President, this is official, and nobody denies that. So, and he was standing near George Roseman. You know who Roseman was? He was one of the very first, you know. And he was an advisor of President Delano, a Yahudi, an Eichel Yisrael. He was smart. So President Roosevelt asked Judge Roseman, should I let them hear what they have to say? So Roseman said, Mr. President, these people are remnants of the Dark Ages, of the Middle Ages. It won't befit you to let them. And he took the advice. So there is always, when an American leader becomes hostile to Jews, there is always Yad Yisrael Benza, and Eichel Yisrael. Here it was. And Mr. Joshua was also a very kind person. And he was very nice towards Israel. But through pressure by Eichel Yisrael, so he decided to reverse the traditional policy of America and for the first time not to recognize terrorists, which was so repugnant to the American tradition. For years and years they refused to talk to anybody who was involved in terror. Now for the first time, he became a moderate already. And whose fault was it? Eichel Yisrael. Peter Hauser, Menachem Rosenzweig, and others, and Dr. Schindler, and I don't want to mention his name, the executive director of the American Jewish Congress, because he is a son of a glorious family, here in America, Jewish family. So I don't want to mention the name, whoever knows who it is. They are responsible. They are responsible. But unfortunately, to our shame and disgrace, and I'm saying it with tears and with a rent heart, one of the former students of Yeshiva University wrote the message of George Schultz. He was at one time dean here in the college. Unfortunately. So there are always Yad Yisrael Benza. But the question is, well, George Schultz was a nice man towards the Jewish problems too. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt was one of the outstanding American leaders in general l'humanité. Bowed by American Social Security, you know what kind of a chesed Social Security is for elderly, I mean, and the poor and the sick. People wouldn't be able to live as long as they lived if not for Social Security. And who has the credit? Who deserves the credit? Frankly, the liberalism, there is no doubt that as far as general chesed is concerned, So, Franklin Delano Roosevelt deserves an A plus. But how about Chesed or Jews? Gets an F. Gets an F. Not even a D minus. And not even incomplete. But an F. It's a big F. F plus. So, this is what Rishmael says. חומים של צבאים של יגנים של הבניבור כולם לא מגבו אז בקטנו בסמול פינגר רקו נבור בוהה רקו נבור מלאס ביטו in other words the small finger that the brain should show it how to cope with general issues of Zdin Lamur and President Roosevelt had that need of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of using the small finger in order to counteract wishes. Didn't he decide to enter on the side of the Allies in order to counteract Hitler? So that was the Ektano Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu that had been shown in order to point out how to counteract wishes after the table. That was the solution to the how to establish a better world, you know. After a world of wishes has destroyed itself. But it's nothing to do with chesed torches. That's something else. It's a separate area. Ezba Shnua Iktano Borikos HaMitzvah Ezba Likim. That's the chesed torches. And sometimes you find certain American leaders who in general chesed were not so outstanding. No one will say that said the late Senator Taft, Zecheinu Livracha, who was outstanding in general humanitarianism. He was not considered a liberal, he was a conservative. But toward Jews, he was outstanding. So in other words, he possessed a great degree of the chesed torches without possessing a great degree of chesed towards people in general. It's strange. How is it possible that Senator Taft was so nice toward Jews and he always fought to help Jews so was not outstanding in chesed towards working people, towards unemployed. He wasn't so sensitive. It is a separate area. It is a separate area. In other words, chesed is not of a unitary character. It has many aspects. Then, certain Jews might be very outstanding in chesed, in general chesed, in Avas Yisrael, but they don't have hear the dream of Avastor to write yours. Let me not tell you. Fine Jews, wonderful Jews, and they are ready to be misled themselves for Jews. And they are advanced. They are not talking about secular people who are misled themselves for Jews. Advanced people are misled themselves for Jews, for everybody. Not what's a story? Not so much. Because that involves the separate freedom of a people. That's the third idea. We gather things from one of us. The Jews, she is really doing the hell in Asia, my duty repeating action. She never said the fourth idea, so that was used by Kadosh Baruch Hu in pointing out to the nation how to be a Machtes Hashem. What does that symbolize? The ability to earn money. You know how I feel about the financial wizards. But I can't deny that the same financial wizards who are responsible for the trouble in Israel now spent millions and millions of dollars for the United Front Federation in helping our people. And I'm sure they gave millions and millions of dollars towards helping out the Russian Jews. But at the tzaddikim, the Eichel Yisrael anyway, but the says one talent, they have that finger with which he can give money. It's a special talent. And I know in Chicago, certain people, Orthodox people, who spend millions on the shivas and all kinds of things, but are not good natured. They're not ready to do Yunus Hasselin Gufi. Yunus Hasselin Amelia, but Yunus Hasselin Gufi not. They are very insensitive to human pain. And if you ask them, let's say, to stay up at night in order to help a sick person, they're not doing it. But if you ask them to give a quarter of $1 million for a yeshiva in which they are interested, they'll give a trouble. Can you understand this? I can't. It's a special talent. Then the whole yard, the Osi, the Hashmi, the soul, or Achis, the Shemeda. So there's a Yad HaGdolo. The Yad HaGdolo represents the coordination of all the British HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts in an uncoordinated way. He just uses the small finger, the second finger, the third finger, the fourth finger. That's acting by Kadosh Baruch Hu without coordination. But the Osid level, so then the British level will coordinate all the fingers in order to counteract the same Israel. So this is the chant. This is the pshat. Kadisi Adonia, Nanatonia, Shaloka Amitsri, Mitzrayim Esamakis, Rayon Loko Hamishimakis, Mitzrayim Aonia, Rayon Rahatun or Pare, Ezra Rikini, Rayon Aonia, Bayay Sos at Adelo, Ashos Hashem Mitzrayim, Rayon Sadishem, Rayon Rishem Mishabu, Kamaloko Bezba, Esamakis. מיה מיאטו מצרים לא כעשר מאקיס או היום לא כחמישי מאקיס. That is not quantitative but qualitative. In מצרים the רבן שלום used his fingers but not all the fingers. He didn't coordinate and the fingers. It was Nisim, but Nisim were done in an uncoordinated way. So even the Israelites couldn't see the Aragero. But Halayam, the Israelites saw coordinated action by the Kavir. Not just Nisim by one finger, not joined with the other finger. Coordinate match. So in other words, qualitatively, the Makis and the Yam were five times as great and as significant as the Makis in Israel. But was earlier, Nayim Shiko Mako Mako, Shehid Yakun Yivor Chalam Mitzrim, in Israel, in Hoysho Shalaba Makis, Shemema Yishalabom Chalnape, Evo Vizam Vitzoro Mishlachas Malachoy. Evo Achas Vizam Shlayim Vitzoro Shalosh Mishlachas Malachoy Ma'am. So in other words, each Maki in Yisrael was fourfold. And when the Atom Yisrael woke up, when Maki is, by Yom Yoko Messiah Maki. Then Rabbi Kivi Yisrael, what's the difference between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kivi? I'm pshat in the Pasuk. According to Rabbi Lezer, when the Pasuk says, Yishalah Bom Harinapeh, so that's a general clause. And then the Pasuk explains, what does Harinapeh consist of? Of Evo Vizan Vitzoro Mishlach Smaroi. But Harinapeh is a general clause that includes all the things mentioned elsewhere. According to Rabbi Kivi, so Harinapeh is not a general clause. It is one item, like Evo. So maybe Rabbi Lezer says, Nanjiko Mako Mako, Sheida Kolikoch La Mitzri, Yisrael Yisrael Shla Hamakis, Shinema Yishalvon Harinapi. The anger of his face, which consists of Evo Vizam Vitzorom Shlas Mamani. And Rabbi Kivi says, no, Yishalvon Harinapi is not a general clause. But it's one of the items, so that five aspects. Now, again, it's in a qualitative sense. The blessed says that every Mako in Mitzrayim had four aspects. First of all, it had the aspect of Evo. Then it had the aspect of Zam. And then it had the aspect of Tzoro, and it had the aspect of Mishlachas Malachoy. Now, of course, Tzoro is something different than Evo and Zam, but what's the difference between Evo and Zam? I think that Evo in English would be anger. Zam in English would be wrath. No, wrath is more than anger. When a person is angry at you, what does it mean? He's upset with you. He's angry at you. He's upset with you. Because you didn't act right towards him. You didn't act in great way to him. So he's angry at you. But that does not mean that he's ready to punish you. That he's determined to punish you and to meet out vengeance against you. That means he's so angry that he's ready to punish you. It's not just being upset with you. So in the Makis in Yisrael, so it was a gradual thing. First, the Rebbeinu Shalom, you know, before each Makis was inflicted upon the Egyptians, so Moshe Rabbeinu was sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to warn them. The first Makkah did not take place until Pharaoh received many warnings. So first it started with the aspect of everyone. In other words, the Ebor indicated to Pharaoh that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is upset with his behavior towards the Israelites. And he warned them. But then the Makkah came after the warning. So the Makkah came, Petra was already right, Zam. So some of the words, so shall we. Mishlachas Malach, Hei Marba, Malach Ra, are the forces of nature that are released by Kodesh Baruch Hu, so that nature itself punishes the person. As I mentioned some time ago, the name of the Sivis Anti Anecho, so how come that in respect to evil it's used in the plural sense, in respect to good it's used in the singular? He should say, why does he say, in the plural, in batim in the singular? So the Nesiva says in his pills, Anecho, the Rebbeinu Shalom does not mix with the behavior of the person called Horishus Nisun. So if the person is good, all the credit is due to the person, not the individual. And if he is bad, so it's the fault of the person. That's ethical, virtue versus vice. So the Rebbeinu Shalom does not interfere and determine that a certain person should be overtaken by ethical virtue or by ethical vice. And the Pyramid Sintia Rollins, why plural? Because there are two kinds of evil. There is ethical evil. The Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't determine ethical evil by a person. And there is physical evil. When a person is overtaken by sickness, when a person is overtaken by death, or by all kinds of trouble, it's physical evil, not ethical evil. Poverty, misery, humiliation. So then the Rebbeinu Shalom never decrees that a certain person should be sick. He doesn't do that. But then, what is that mean, Chas v'Shalom? That it's not done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Of course it's done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the Rebbeinu Shalom created the world in such a way that nature releases its own malachim hoy, who inflict death, who inflict sickness. There are all kinds of malachim hoy, germs and viruses, whatnot. All kinds of malachim hoy. So that was instilled or installed in the tzuras of, in the tzura of every human being or any living being, and not only living beings, you have earthquakes. So it's not very being so long. Decrees that on this day in Mexico there should be an earthquake. The Rebbeinu Shalom installed it in the Tzuras Olam that sometimes the Olam itself, nature, releases its own malach rod. What happened when you know, the atomic bomb was dropped? So, I mentioned it. The Nezer says, the Rishis bore the keenness of Shemayim Shoretz. So Boron create, he doesn't really create. Boron means to destroy. In Yeshua, in the Blue have complained to Yeshua, we don't have enough place to live in. So Yeshua advised them, לא יחיו הרע וברוי אסוריצי ונשפדיים על דקויס סבורים will have points to good houses. So Boroi means to destroy, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing Lomitz Machiva before this world came into being, the other worlds, the Cheshbon, as the soul printed out, and others. So the Cheshbon of 5,750 dates back to the present world, which is the last world. But it doesn't date back to the beginning of creation, because there are previous worlds. What happened, we don't know, but there are previous worlds. And the Father Soul said, some of the fossils that were dug up in certain places in the world were fossils of creatures that lived before the present world. So there is one distinction between the previous worlds and the present world. The previous worlds did not have the element of Shabbos. When the Rebbeinu Shalom created one world after the other, he did not fast on Shabbos. It just was the continuous process of creation. And how is creation? How does creation operate? Through destruction. When you release nuclear energy, so then when you break the atom, so much havoc is done. Imagine what the Rebbeinu Shalom created the worlds by making combinations between electrons and protons and photons into atoms. How much destruction was what? You couldn't even have an idea. So there was no element of Shabbos. But the last world, so then the Rebbeinu Shalom decided to rest. What is rest by the HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When we rest, it means we lie down, we relax, whatever we do. I still don't know how to relax. That's the only Godless time. I don't know how to relax. But anyway, but people will relax some one way, some another way. What is it mean to the Rebbeinu Shalom? The Rebbeinu Shalom resting means that he put an end to the process of unlimited creation, which involves destruction. You know what unlimited creation means? A constant reshuffling of the arrangement of the electrons and photons, you know, and that involves release of energy. So if breaking one atom involves so much destruction, so the breaking of millions of atoms. But this world was created, the Rebbeinu Shalom said, die. The world was created through process of a rearrangement and reshuffling of the electrons and the photons, but now it has to stay that way. It has to be harnessed. That was the rest of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that happened after the 6 days of creation of the last world. So that's Mishlachas Malachim, as the Yeshiva says. Not only doesn't the Rebbeinu Shalom decree that certain people should do ethical evil, he doesn't even decree that people should be overtaken by physical evil, by sickness. But how does sickness happen? When a person deserves to be punished, then the Rebbeinu Shalom is Messiah Das, so to speak. The Chestapanda is, so to speak, Messiah Das for a moment, because nature has made a system of destroying itself all the time. And I'm having two very nice occasions, only because the Rebbeinu Shalom is on guard, that nature should not destroy itself, if not for the Hashgacha by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that nature should not destroy itself, you have a colossal, cosmic working of atoms all over the world. Which day? But I'm having it to you, the whole world, my species, some other worlds. When the British one rested after the termination of the creation of this last world, which is good work, allow the King's Cross also to be made. The previous worlds are not so good. In this world, the state made, as Leibniz said, is the best of all the best possible worlds. Why is this world the best of all the best possible worlds? You know, Voltaire, he was an atheist, so he said that this world is the worst of all the worst possible worlds. He was an atheist. Schopenhauer said the same thing. But neither one of them decided to commit suicide. But the philosophy was a nihilist philosophy anyway. But Leibniz said, this world is the best of all the best possible worlds. Why? Because this world terminated with Best Ba'akadosh Baruch Hu. And Best Ba'akadosh Baruch Hu, when the Rebbein Shalom rested Bein Hashmini, so that rest is continual. Otherwise, because we had a return of the whole year in my situations, if the Rebbein Shalom hadn't been on guard, so then the world would be destroyed by itself, not by the Rebbein Shalom. So the Malachi Rome, with the Tshuva Seim and Melissus, the breaking of the atoms, that's Malachi Rome. The breaking of the atoms is Malachi Rome. So that's what he says. So now, we say in the Musaf Tefillah of Shabbos Lashodes, Ato Yotzarto Imoncho Mikere. Why Mikere? Mikere. Mikere means it continues. The answer is there is a difference between Pevilo and Yitzir. Pevilo means that it's done through a process of destruction. Lechli ayara upoilu eitzimishon. Yitzhira means that it preserves the harmony that exists in nature. Ato yitzharto ilomcho mikedem. You are still yitzhar ilomcho. You continue to be yitzhar ilomcho. The Rebbeinu Shalom continues to rest. Only you rest only on Shabbos. But the Rebbeinu Shalom himself continues to rest all the time by preserving the harmony of nature and by not allowing nature to destroy itself, to release the Mishlachas Lachon. So he says, Evoachas, Vizam Shtan, Vizor Shalosh, Mishlachas Malachim Rehoim Arba. And we are not in Yisrael, Loko Avoy Makeis, but I am Loko Musayna. Rabbi Kiva in there, so it's really the same thing. Except, a new point is written in the Blazer. According to the Blazer, Harinapai is a general expression. And then, the other items mentioned are explanatory of Harinapai. And according to Rabbi Kiva, Harinapai is not a general expression, but it's one of the items. Rabbi Kiva, Menayishiko, Mako, Mako, שיהיה הקביש ברוך על המצרים, המצחן ומושב של חומש מקיס, שנאמר משל אדום חרנפי, איפה ויזם ויצור המשלח עצמו אחרון. חרנפי אחס, איפה שתיים, ויזם שולש, ויצור הארבע, משלח עצמו אחרון, חומש, הם אמרת במצרים לא כחמיש מקיס, והיום לא כחמיש מסך מקיס. I think this is the end of this year. And I wish you all, לך כושר ושמח, And I'll ask you to have no mind that after Pesach I shouldn't have the suffering and the sorrow that I had until now. After all, doctors tell me, time will heal, Baruch Hashem, I don't have any tumor in the spine that they suspected.
I don't have a tumor in the kidney that he suspected. All the tests show I have no tumor. But one has to be assumed because of the fracture. And the fracture degenerated the bone in the lumbar area. So I have a lot of assumed, but time will heal. So you have to please bow for me that time should be reduced to minimum, not max. That's all I ask you.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.